Positive Chats podcast. We have author Carl Galpas with us. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, it's Gallups, G-A-L-L-U-P-S. It's like the Gallup poll, but with an S on it.
Okay, Gallups, thank you. Good morning to you. Thanks for being with us here on the Positive Chats podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. So you want to tell our listeners a little bit about your book, but what about you? Tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, and how'd you end up at Glimpses of Glory?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. Listen, I'm a pastor on the Gulf Coast. I've been the pastor of one church for 35 years. Prior to that, I spent a little over 10 years in Florida law enforcement, a patrol officer with two different sheriff's offices, and did criminal investigations in one of them, served under three different sheriffs, had quite an extensive career there. But the Lord called me into ministry, and that's a long story, but I'm just getting to the bottom line. But he called me into ministry. I prepared myself for that. I arrived at this church 35 years ago thinking I would just be there 2 or 3 years, but boom, here I still am, and the church is blowing and growing and reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're pumped. But in the meantime, they have the church has allowed me to spend time also writing books about the stuff that I preach and teach continually, and it really, really seems to give great depth and insight into the Word of God, so they allow me to do that. So I started about 10, 11 years ago, and now I've become a top 60 best-selling author on Amazon. That is the top 60 out of all books sold, and that's put me all over media, so I get to do a lot of media, get to talk about the Lord and the kingdom and the stuff God is showing me all over the world. So thank you for having me, and thanks for letting me be a part of this today.
Wow, so you went from investigating crime to investigating the Word of God, it sounds like.
Exactly. And a lot of my books are written that way. Now, that might sound boring to some of your readers, but I promise you, some of your listeners, but the readers of my books don't say they're boring because yeah, I do. I really use my investigative skills. Plus, you know, all of my education and theology and investigating the Word of God and hermeneutics and, you know, Greek and Hebrew. I had to take all of that at a master's degree level. And now 35 years of preaching and studying and researching and digging. So yeah, the Lord has shown me a lot of things that the classical scholars have known for hundreds of years, even scholars before them, and some modern scholars, but most of modern scholarship doesn't really delve into the depth of the scriptures that I do. Some do, but most of it doesn't. And so I'm just trying to restore basically a classical understanding and a deep, deep look at the connection of scripture from beginning to end, you know, preaching that to the church to equip the saints and also to bring people into the kingdom of God.
That's awesome. So tell us about the importance of what we can find in Glimpses of Glory.
Well, listen, I appreciate that. So I've written 13 books now. I've got another one coming out this fall, but Glimpses of Glory came out in March. It was supposed to come out last fall, but because of supply chain issues and paper, lack of paper for the major printers and the major, I'm with a major publishing company, and yeah, and the 13 books, I have been with two major publishers, and this one hit right in the middle of the supply chain and had a problem coming out. It didn't come out until March of this year. It was supposed to be out fall of last year. So Glimpses of Glory is out. I've got another one coming out this fall. But Glimpses of Glory, the reason I said all of that is to say it's different than anything I've ever written before. Don't know if I'll write anything like it again, but it's written in novel format. That is, it's like reading a novel. It is third-person narrative. It puts you in the Garden of Eden. It puts you on the ark with Noah. It puts you along the shores of Galilee. Well, it puts you with Mary and Joseph on the road to Bethlehem. And I mean, I'm talking about in detail. I do a lot of deep character development, really 3D characters. It allows you to smell, feel, taste, and touch and experience the emotions of the narrative that you're in. You wind up on the shore of Galilee when Jesus announces his ministry. First, you're at the Jordan River when he's baptized. Then you're in the wilderness temptation with him. And I mean, these are very immersive. You get a firsthand look and glimpse of Satan himself. And this is not just made up stuff. It all comes from the Word of God. A lot of the narrative comes directly out of the Word of God. Of course, I had to take some liberty to create a few characters to carry on dialogue and a few situations of explaining where they were and what it might have looked like. But even in the fictional parts, it's based deeply upon the Word of God. There's nothing that takes away from theology and doctrine. And also, I do a lot of research of what things would have looked like, felt like, been like, smelt like back in the days of Jesus himself. And then you follow him all the way through his ministry and along the shores of Galilee and demonic deliverance and healings and the reactions of the crowd, the reactions of the religious elite. You hear his discussions third person with all of that. Then you go with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then you are there at the foot of the cross during that whole gruesome ordeal. You're there at the resurrection. You're there all the way through to the book of Revelation, where John is receiving, he's in court being sentenced to the island of Patmos. You're there with him in court. Then you're there with him on the island of Patmos. Then you're there when he receives the revelation. Then you are with John on his deathbed after he's released from Patmos. And it explains how all of that actually happened. And it's just, you're reading a novel. And everybody that's read it says, oh my gosh, not only does this bring the whole Bible alive, but now I get it. I know why we're here. I know what we're doing. I know what God's up to. I know what Satan's up to. I feel like I'm strengthened in my faith. That was a lengthy discussion. I'm sorry, but it's a very different book. Does that make sense?
It does. So, I thoroughly enjoyed. Thank you for sharing that. So this is a pretty lengthy book. It is. So it's 13 parts, 70 chapters, right?
Yeah, but the chapters are only 4 or 5 pages each. But you're right. I think there's 70. I don't remember the exact. I don't have it in my hand. But yes, it's about 70 chapters, about 4 or 5 pages each. So it runs to about 300 and something pages of reading material. But you know what's really cool about it that I like? And that is it's 2 books in one. So while you're reading through it, if you find that I say something that you're thinking, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. Or, wow, he's taking liberty there. In those kinds of places where I knew people would say those things, there's a footnote. And if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to, you follow the footnote to the back and you discover there's a whole nother book back there. That's one reason the book is so thick.
Yeah.
Because when you get to the back, then if I've made a statement that maybe makes you scratch your head and you follow the footnote, you wind up with these scholarly additions to that very point that I made. You'll wind up with commentary entries. You'll wind up with scripture references showing that either this really did happen and it really was said, you just missed it. And plus, I do word studies to show that from the Greek and the Hebrew, yes, this is exactly what it meant. This is exactly what happened. And sometimes I have a paragraph or two of my own opinion and commentary. So it's like 2 books in one. Now, you can read the whole thing like a novel and never even refer to any of that. Just trust that I'm speaking correctly. But again, I put that there so that people that want to go deeper can get in the back and see all of that. The other thing that I try to emphasize is the reality of the interdimensionality of God's creation. The Bible says there are other dimensions of physical reality, complete with portals. Now, in case that sounds weird to you, please remember what Paul said in Ephesians 6. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. You see it there, but it's in unseen realms. That word realm, the more modern word would be dimensions, unseen dimensions. There are powers, there are principalities in unseen dimensions. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me." Alive, you know, is what he meant, in paradise. Well, how are they going to do that? They're brutally beaten and tortured and crucified, hanging on a cross on a hill outside of the Temple Mount. What the heck does he mean? You're going to be with me in paradise. Well, Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the key. I've got the keys. I hold the keys to life and death. I'm the truth. I'm the gate. I'm the door. All of those words mean I'm the portal. You know, no one's coming to the presence of the Father lest they come through me into another dimension. So what I do is I bring that truth alive in the book without being preachy about it and without really stopping in the middle of the narrative and explaining it. It just is there because the Bible says it's there, but I show you how it works and you experience an angel or Satan himself coming through a portal. You experience when John enters into the glory of Jesus and as he leaves his deathbed. You experience what that's like according to the Word of God. So I really, really emphasize that. And that's why a lot of people come away saying, wow, I've never thought of life at this depth before. But it's all backed up in that book in the back through the footnotes.
Yeah, so let's talk about that book in the back for a second. That was actually one of my favorite parts, looking through this book. I was like, this is literally, it is an entire another book. It's almost 100 pages of references, right?
And yeah, references and commentary and word studies. Yeah, it's 100 pages of another book. Yeah.
So definitely for the scholar, for the one who wants to go a little deeper.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's why I wrote it. First of all, I mean, I've been preaching and teaching and investigating the Word of God, as I said, for 35 years. That's as a pastor. I mean, I was doing it for several years before that. So let's say close to 40 years. So the Lord has shown me and taught me a lot. And now all my material has been widely peer reviewed. And that's not to say that everything I ever say or write is 1,000% correct. I'm not that vain. I'm just saying that I'm out here. I've been on TV and radio, major television, national, international. Same with radio shows, some of the largest shows in the world, for 10 years. And so people ask questions and we get bombarded and I answer them. Sometimes people object to what I say and I have to explain it to them. I've tweaked some things because I've learned things from some of the critics over the years. So the point is that I wrote this book so that a 10th or 11th grader in high school would pick it up, read the novel part, and enjoy the heck out of it, share it with their friends, bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ or deeper. And a seminary professor can pick it up, read it, get great inspiration from the narrative format, but yet can go to the back and find all of this scholarly detail on how the things I said in there are either completely true or could very well be true based upon other biblical truths and facts.
Yeah. So where did you get this inspiration to write in that novel third person format? Where did that come from? Since it's not like any other writings.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Listen, here's how it happened. So in all my other books, in every one of them, including my very first one, and I mean, like I said, all of them have been in the top 300 on Amazon of all 17 million books they sell. Several have been in the top 100 and a couple of them have been in the top 60 and higher. So people are enjoying them. But in every one of them, all 13 of them, I had narrative sections embedded to help illustrate a deep biblical truth that I was studying. Mm-hmm. And I might have four or five chapters of something narrative. I would put you, if I'm talking about the flood, for example, I would put you on the boat with Noah. Okay, for four or five chapters. Then I would go into the scholarly understanding. Well, people raved about that. And my own father, who has now passed just a few weeks ago, actually, he inspired me. He kept saying, man, I love these narrative portions of all of your books. They really bring it to life. You should write a whole book like that, explaining the Bible from beginning to end. And now when he said that, my response was, right. Why don't you write it? That'll take 25 years, you know? And by the way, my father was a college professor at Florida State University for 30 years in the School of Business. So he was a very, very capable man of doing all of that if he had been called. But I just said, right. From Genesis to Revelation, that you want me to immerse the readers in a moving narrative. And he said, yeah, that's exactly what I'd like to see you do. So after it was about 6 months of mulling over that, I said, you know what? I think I've got some ideas. And God started giving me downloads. I started writing it. It took me another 6 or 7 or 8 months to write it. I proved it with my publisher. They said, yeah, if you'll write that, we will publish it. Absolutely. And so they did. It's going crazy all over the world. The Lord is blessing it. Thanks for asking me that.
Well, glory to the Father. And thank God for your father, to your natural father, for encouraging you in that way. So I have a question. In the entire book, there's only one map. Am I right? There's a map of the Mediterranean Sea, Galilee.
Yeah, it's up front. Yeah, it's a map. And there's several things that are displayed on that map. But yes, go ahead, though.
So tell us the importance of that. I was intrigued because it's the only image. It's the only map in the entire.
Yeah. And if you like that, you're going to like my book coming out in the fall. There are 45 illustrations in that book. It's a very visual book. But this one, it has a map so that as you follow, for example, Mary and Joseph on their trip to Bethlehem, that whole narrative is so much deeper, so much more glorious, so much more amazing than, and I'm not saying than the Word of God, but I mean, the scriptures just have paragraph here, paragraph here, paragraph here, but it's all through the Old Testament. It's all through the New Testament. So what I do is I pull it together and boom, this narrative, plus all the historical research, the archaeological, the latest archaeological research, the latest hermeneutical research and exegetical research, understanding the languages and whatever the scholarship has discovered. And I just bring it to life. And so I put a map in there so that people could actually see that journey was over 100 miles. It took them 2 or 3, 4 days. And can you imagine being 9 months pregnant? 9 months. I mean, literally, it took them 2 or 3 days to go 100 miles. Well, actually, it took them closer to a week. But she was riding on the back of a donkey. and when she got there, she delivered. So, I mean, she was in the last week of her pregnancy on the back of a donkey going through the Judean hills and valleys and mountains, 9 months pregnant, 1 week away from delivery. And you miss that emotional fact and that physical fact in the scriptures, it's there, but it doesn't tell it like that. It just says, she was pregnant with child. And so that she went to Bethlehem and boom, they got there and there was no room in the inn. But why? I mean, why? And why was there no room in the inn? And how in the world did she make that arduous journey? And what did Joseph do along the way? What was he thinking? All of that is in the book in third person so that you feel like you're walking right beside them on that trip. And the map is there to show you more than likely, according to all the scholarship, the exact route they took.
Wow. That's crazy. So I've been 9 months pregnant and I wouldn't have wanted to travel a week in a car, let alone on a donkey. So
you wouldn't have wanted to be in an air conditioned Cadillac for a week at 9 months pregnant. No,
crazy.
Just a few days away from delivering. No.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, but that's how people live back then.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, thank you for bringing the Bible to life, it sounds like. It sounds like, even with that one image and with these 70 chapters written in novel format, third person, it sounds like your goal was to just bring the Word of God to life, to make reachable, attainable, and to bring it alive.
That's it. Listen, I never envisioned myself to be an author. I'm a pastor, preacher, teacher. I love speaking about the Word of God and teaching it more than anything in the world. And I'm blessed. I get to do it all over the world in conferences and media and mission trips and crusades. And so, but about 10 or 11 years ago, people kept pestering me, said, you need to put this stuff in writing. We want this forever and ever, even after you're gone. We want this on our bookshelves. I said, wow. And I said, well, okay. So I started and I did it. But this book, yes, that's my goal has always been to bring the Word of God alive. It's written very much like I preach. Now, I don't preach my whole sermon in third person narrative, but I do illustrate my messages a lot parabolically, kind of like Jesus did. In the middle of his preaching, he would stop and say, let me give you a story.
Yeah.
Let me show you how this works. I preach like that a lot. continually. And people really seem to like that because they can feel it, taste it, touch it, smell it. So that's why I wrote the book. That's how I wrote the book. My goal was, yes, to strengthen, to get young people reading books again. You know, the internet and cell phones have turned young people, most of them anyway, into just 2 or 3 minute sound bites. I think it's good for the mind to be able to concentrate and to, you know, exercise the muscle of your brain in reading, but yet to enjoy it, and not only enjoy it, but to learn something, but not only to learn something, but to be inspired by it to the glory of Jesus.
Wow, that's wonderful. I know that a lot of what you put in here came from years and years of research and, you know, just life and God just pouring into you over the years, but intentionally, how long would you say that this book, Glimpses of Glory, took you to write?
I don't think I've ever been asked that before, but this is cool. Well, listen, I would think it was years in the making. That is, I preach and teach a lot of the stuff that's in here. People seem to just be blown away by the truths that I was preaching and teaching, and I would back it up in the pulpit with scholarship. I would say, look, in case you think I'm an idiot for saying this, let me read to you a couple of commentaries from renowned scholars, and then let me do a word study with you real quickly, and you'll see. And so I do that, and people go, oh my gosh, man, we're missing so much of the Word of God without this. So anyway, I just probably a couple of years or maybe even more than that, because I preached it, I taught it, I would watch the reaction of people, I would see people's lives change, and I would think, somehow I've got to capture this in writing, somehow. And then my dad comes along and says, I can tell you how. You do it in the third person narrative like you do in all of your books for a couple of chapters, but instead this book, you make the whole book that way. And then that took probably 6 or 8 months of just writing and further research and then the editing process. And so that's that. So it's years. I don't know how many, but the actual intentional sitting down at the computer and saying, okay, I'm going to start this book.
Yeah.
From beginning of the writing to its release by the publisher on the market was right about a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that short or long in your estimation?
For this book, for what I'm seeing, what I'm reading, that's short. But I mean, if
it's in you
and you just need the Holy Spirit to bring it to your, you know, remembrance, then I guess the year is about right, right?
Yeah. Well, it is. But again, you got to remember, a lot of the research and the preaching and teaching and the ideas I had already formulated for years by preaching it in the pulpit. Okay. So all I had to do now was to sit down and let God continue to download and then to do further, more up-to-date research to make sure that the things I was saying and illustrating in this book were as accurate as could be. And so that process took about a year. Yeah. The editing process is the most grueling thing. I mean, you know, you get the manuscript, you write it down, you go through, you clean it up, you send it to the publishers. They have professional editors. And then you've really got to be humble. I'm telling you, listen, I'm a fairly educated fella, and I've been preaching and teaching for a long time. And I was a criminal investigator. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not a dum-dum either. But I'm telling you, you turn in a 300 to 400 page manuscript to your editors, you better not have an ego, because it will come back looking like a third grade, like a teacher just cut it to pieces and calls you a third grader. And you know, you just have to, that editing process is grueling, but the editors make me look really good.
Well, thank you for sharing that for all of the aspiring authors out there, giving them a heads up, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, you think, okay, I'm going to put it out there and everybody's going to love it. And oh man, I'm just going to feel so good. And that's the other thing. You better not have an ego there either, because with today's social media and the 24/7 instantaneous information communication technology we have, there are out there, people that hate the Word of God, they hate you because you're teaching it, you're making it more accessible. They will trash it. They will rip it to pieces. They'll rip you to pieces. I mean, you know, it's a whole new world now is what I'm saying. So anyway, but the people that I mean, I care about all people as a pastor, but really when it comes down to it, those who are either of the Lord or are seeking the Lord, those are the people I care about the most. So the other people, they can have their opinions. I just, you know, if it gets really nasty, I just push block, delete, block, delete, block, delete, you know. But now some
people
say, some people say stuff that, you know, it hurts at first. And then I read it and I say, you know what? They're right. They're right. And so, you know, even some criticism has helped my writing. But I just tell aspiring authors, look, just put pen to paper. You will never get a book written unless you start writing. I mean, that sounds obvious, but how many aspiring authors never put pen to paper and so a book never comes out? I'm saying just do it. Just do it and see what happens from there.
Amen. Well, Carl, thanks so much for joining us for Positive Test Podcast this morning. We look forward to hearing from you with your next book as well.
Can I tell them how to get the book?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. My name.com, carlgallops.com. There's a store there with all of my books. You can get it directly from me if you want. I'll autograph it for you if you want. We'll ship it out postage free, no strings attached. Once you get the book, we'll get a mailing address from you. But after we keep up with you to make sure you got the book, and then after that, we throw your mailing address and everything away. We don't send you a bunch of junk mail, nothing, but you can get it directly from us. And there's a phone number there. There's an email address. Plus, there's a PayPal button if you want to use that. So carlgallops.com, you'll see it. Now, it's also available anywhere books are sold. It's a major publisher, so it's all over the internet, you know, Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes and Noble. It's in brick and mortar stores, Christian bookstores around, and even in secular bookstores. And if they don't have it in stock, and a lot of them do, you can order it.
And again, he said carlgallops.com, correct?
Yes, correct. CarlGallups, carlgallops.com.
Well, happy Wild Wednesday, everyone. Thank you, Carl. You have a great day.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. God bless you.